I was not expecting to be preaching this Sunday. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to do so here at Antioch. I count it not only an honor, but a privilege to be asked to preach here at Antioch. We love you and we pray for you. We do pray for you. Not only because you are the Church of Jesus Christ and we belong to the same family of churches, and I love Pastor Tim, but also because you've been the home of some of our members who have come here to study. They've been well taught, well built up, and they have come and made a good contribution among us back in Lusaka. They testify to how well cared for they have been. Allow me to say thank you to you. Before I bring God's word this morning, I'll be drawing your attention to Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47, among other passages. I was asked to briefly share some items for prayer out of Lusaka. Please do pray for our country. We have a new government. They've been in office for a year. They have a great challenge before them, which includes repairing a very battered economy. And they are doing well thus far. Do pray for them. And then pray for our church. We have many needs. Like you, we were affected by the COVID-19, obviously. It affected our church in many ways, including the fact that although we've been back more or less to a normal church program and arrangement, there are members who still haven't come back. They join us virtually, but we desire to see them join with us. Do pray for us in that regard. Pray for the church in Zambia at large, and especially our Reformed Baptist circles. We've been a very neatly tied community of churches, very united. In the recent past, there has been some rift, and so I wouldn't say we are enjoying complete unity. Please do remember us as we strive to repair that. We have many church plants, but I would like you to join us in praying for a church plant we are doing in Tanzania, which is in the north of Zambia, north of Zambia. We've been struggling to find a meeting place for the church, and it seems like the logical thing to do is to purchase land and put up a building. It's difficult to find land. And we do need the Lord's help in that regard, and we would be needing resources to put up a church building when we do find land. You may want to join us in praying for that. Acts chapter 2, verse 41-47. You're all familiar with that passage, no doubt. I'll pick it up from verse 40, Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now this morning I'll be speaking on membership, specifically why membership of a church is important. And I have three reasons why I need to draw your attention to this subject. First, there are people who've been Christians for some time, but who don't realize that they actually need to join a church. Maybe you fall in that category. You were saved a while ago, maybe not so long ago, and you've been coming to this church, but it has not occurred to you that you actually need to join the church. You need to become a member. I'm drawing your attention to this subject because I want to awaken you to the realization that you need to do that. Secondly, there are also Christians who assume that because they attend church regularly, that they are members of the church. They come and worship as often as the members do. They fellowship with believers as much as anyone else. They profit from the teaching and other ministries of the church. They show love toward the brethren, and they receive love from the brethren. It is quite natural for them to think of themselves as members. I want to encourage such to formalize their membership. And then thirdly, there are Christians who believe that joining a church is not necessary. Such Christians hold that they can do without the church. Indeed, there are Christians who are preoccupied with their own lives. They couldn't care about uniting themselves with others. They also think that there are other ways of meeting God apart from doing it through the church. There's actually a movement in the United States of America that teaches that discourages church and the existence of the church and communion with the church and cohabitation with the church. They argue that we can all do without the church and still be very effective Christians, still be very happy, and still live to the glory of God. I want to persuade such to think again and to join the church. Many of you are already members, I'd like to believe. I want to commend you for taking such a stand and also to encourage you to renew your commitment to the membership of the church. And as I speak to this subject, I want to begin by quoting from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He once described his intense desire to be a member of a local church in this way. He said, and I quote, "I well remember how I joined the church after my conversion. I forced myself into it by telling the pastor, who was lax and slow. After I had called 4 or 5 times and could not see him, that I had done my duty. And if he didn't see me and interview me for church membership, I would call a church meeting myself and tell them I believed in Christ and ask them if they would have me. End of quote. Our attitude toward church membership must be like that of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great 19th century preacher in Britain. But perhaps before we answer the question why membership of a church is important, let's be clear about what membership or joining a church means. Membership, I would say, is a reference to being a vital and integral part of a visible body of God's people called the local church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, those who received the gospel and got baptized were added to the church. They were added to a body of God's people at Jerusalem. And then they committed themselves to that church. We are told in verse 42 here that they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Well, if that is what membership is, the question is, why is it important? There are 3 main reasons I want to share with you, and then I'll bring some applications to bear upon your minds and consciences. Let's begin with the 3 main reasons why membership is important. First of all, membership in a church clarifies the difference between the church and the world. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, those who accepted his word were baptized and added to the church. They were baptized and added to the church. You probably remember the journey of the children of Israel. They were moving from Egypt, where they had been in slavery, to Canaan. To get there, they had to cross the Red Sea, and they had to cross a desert. Before they crossed the Red Sea, they had been under the lordship of Pharaoh. They, in a sense, belonged to Pharaoh. But when they crossed through the Red Sea, they went through something like a baptism. And then got over to the other side. And when they got over to the other side, they were no longer under Pharaoh. Pharaoh was behind them. Slavery was behind them. Egypt was behind them. They were now under Moses. So we could say that they had been baptized into Moses. They had been baptized in the name of Moses. Well, Christians go through something similar. Before you become a Christian, you are in the world. You are under Satan in some senses. You live his life and according to his dictates. When you become a Christian, you get baptized, your baptism basically draws a line. When you take that step, you are saying you have turned your back on the world. You've turned your back on sin. And you have begun to look forward. You've put in your lot with Christ, as it were. You will follow him. You will live for him. And when you join a church, you are indicating the fact that you are in the church, among the people of God. You are on their side. You are not in the world and on the side of the world anymore. Well, this is what we see here. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. They didn't continue to be in the company of unbelievers. They were added to them. They didn't continue to live their past lives. They were added to them. They gave up all that characterized their lives before and threw in their lot with the people of God. When you join a church, you make it clear whose side you are on. You don't want to be considered an outsider any longer. You are inside. You are, in a manner of speaking, in the ark. So membership of a church clarifies the difference between the church and the world. Secondly, membership of a church declares that you are no longer an independent Christian. And I know there are those Christians who, even after leaving the world and indeed professing Christ and making it clear that they are his, they choose still to be freelance Christians, in a manner similar to the way you find freelance journalists. They are not accountable to anyone. They write what they like. They choose to publish what they want to publish. They are not answerable to anyone. Well, there are Christians who want it that way. They are freelance. They are not connected. They are not answerable. Well, biblically speaking, you can't be like that. When you become a part of a body of believers or a fellowship, you are saying you want to belong. You want to be accountable. You want to be a part of the fellowship. And they did become a part of the fellowship, didn't they? These early believers. Having been added to the church, we are told in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship. You're no longer just an individual. You're part of a body. And 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27 makes that clear. Listen to this. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Yes, you are an individual, but now you have become a part of the body of Christ. You can no longer live an individualistic life. Your life becomes bound up with that of the people of God. And you become accountable to them. You become accountable to the leadership of the church. You become accountable to other believers. You can't just be an individual. Thirdly, membership of a church places you in a context where the Christian life is primarily lived out. Now, we are expected to live our Christian lives everywhere, wherever we are. But you will agree with me that when you do become a Christian, and when you do join a church, your Christian life is lived out primarily in the context of that sphere. The early believers lived out their Christian lives in practical and tangible ways in the context of the fellowship. Just listen to this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The NIV says they devoted themselves. And that word translated continued steadfastly means that they were so given to this that nothing would distract them. They were strong toward this activity. They continued steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine. And that means they attended upon the apostles' teaching personally. They continued steadfastly to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. And then we read what else was going on among them. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among everyone as they had need. And continuing daily, listen to that, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Life seemed to revolve around the fellowship. Note that they committed themselves to the community of God's people. That is what it means to continue steadfastly in the church. They committed themselves to the community of God's people. They met with them. They ate with them. They worshiped with them. The community became their life. Not only that, they committed themselves to communing with God's people. They were part of the shared life of the church. They didn't just attend the meetings. And it's important to attend the meetings of the church, to be part of the gatherings of the church. But they were also part of the inner life of the church, the shared life of the church. They participated in the prayer meetings. They heard about the prayer needs of the people. And they took an interest in those needs and joined in praying about those needs, not just with the church, but when they were alone in the context of their homes, they continued to pray about that. They heard about the needs of the people. They reached out to them. They shared out of their own substance with them. They were part of the shared life of the church. And when they were needy themselves, others came alongside them and carried those needs with them. They were part of the shared life of the church. They didn't just attend the meetings. I wonder, can it be said about you that you're part of the shared life of the church? You are in the inside. You know what's going on. You are sharing in that. You're bearing the burdens of others, and they're bearing your burdens too. You're not on the fringes of the church. You're not on the fence. You are inside. That's how we are all expected to express our membership. We all must do that. Now, when you are in this context, there are six things at least that are associated with being in the context of the local church. And I want to share that with you and hope that that will motivate you to seek membership. And not just to seek membership, when you have to maintain it. First, the context of the church offers you the benefit of pastoral oversight. In other words, you put yourself in a position where the shepherds of the church can care for your soul, can care for your life. They are called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be the shepherds of the church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul encouraged the elders at Ephesus to shepherd the flock of God. Now, when you are not part of the flock, you haven't identified yourself with the flock, how can the elders care for you? How can they shepherd you? When you are in the church, you are a part of the church, these men will help you. They will teach you. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles were the shepherds at this moment in time. And continuing in their doctrine meant being present where they were teaching, being present where they were instructing the church, being present when they were feeding the church. And no doubt the apostles didn't just feed the church when the church gathered. They also had the ministry of moving from house to house, counseling, guiding. How could they have done that if they didn't identify the flock, the people they were supposed to be caring for? How can your elders care for you when you are not there, when you are not committed to this sheepen? In this context, they will teach and guide you by the word of God. They will lead you toward Christian maturity. They will preserve you from falsehood, from the evil one. They will be there with you, for you. But you have to be there in order for them to minister to you in this way. Secondly, in this context, you will have the benefit of the love and service of your fellow believers, your fellow members. Brothers and sisters will weep with you when you weep. They will rejoice with you when you rejoice. They will walk side by side with you in your Christian walk. They will lift you up when you are weak. They will encourage you when you are strong. You have to be there with them to enjoy that. Thirdly, being in this context offers you the benefit of sharing in the Lord's Supper. I know that the Lord's Supper is for all believers. But particularly for believers who are part of the church, who have identified themselves visibly. The problem with simply having every Jim and Jack who calls themselves Christians to participate with believers is that you don't know how they live. You don't know whether they're walking with the Lord. You just don't know. If they haven't identified themselves with a visible body of God's people, if they are not accountable to anyone, for all we know, they may not be walking with the Lord. But when they are a part of the church family, we do not only know who they are, we know how they live. And we can, in good conscience, share in the table with them. So it is primarily a benefit for members of the church. Fourthly, this context offers you the benefit of having an arena in which you can exercise your gifts. Now, there are Christians who exercise their gifts beyond the confines of the local church. I know that. But when you read the Bible carefully, you will find that the expectation of the apostles, who teach us much of the theology of the church, was that you would belong to a visible body of God's people, and in the context of that body, you will exercise your gifts. You can't read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and not come to that conclusion. Listen to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Each one. Everyone in the church has a gift, and they must use it not just for themselves, but for the profit of all, for the common good. The local church is the place where you will have opportunity and time to exercise those gifts. If you are a member of the church, are you exercising your gifts? Are you applying your gifts for the benefit of others? Or do you just stand by and watch others as they do so? Fifthly, being in this context offers you the benefit of being subjected to corrective discipline. When you sin, when you go wrong. I know from my context that there are people who are in the habit of living in sin and hiding from the elders. They don't seem to realize that to come in the open and to subject themselves to the correction of the church is a means of grace. It is meant for their good. Corrective discipline is a blessing, not a curse. When it is applied upon you, it shows that the Lord and the church love you. They want to see you restored back to usefulness, to the place where you can continue to be a blessing to others. When you're outside the perimeters of the church or the parameters of the church, you are basically in Satan's domain. The Bible indicates that Satan is the god of this world, whereas the church is the kingdom of Christ. To be outside the church is to be in Satan's kingdom. When you sin or backslide and you are in the world, you are basically at the mercy of Satan, with no way of coming back to the Lord. But in the church, you reap the benefit of being corrected by Christ, by his under shepherds, and by your fellow members, your fellow believers. Don't miss out on that by remaining on the outside. We all need corrective discipline. Sixthly, being in this context offers you the benefit of being in the company of Christ. Now, we can argue that Christ is with you wherever you are, but is it not true, according to Matthew 18, that he is in the church, and especially when the church gathers in a very special way? Do we not say, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them? He is with you wherever you are. But where the people of God are gathered as a church, he is present in a very special way. And when you are in the habit of absenting yourself from the assembly of God's people, you're missing something. You're missing that special presence of Christ among his people. And there are moments when he has chosen to visit such gatherings in a very special way. There are revivals that have started out when the people of God were gathered together. And when you are not there, you miss out on such blessing. You miss out on that presence. When you are not part of the ministry of the church, you miss out on that blessing. When you are not regularly under the ministry of the elders, you miss out, because God takes that ministry as it works itself out in the lives of the people of God and blesses it by his ministry. And when you're not there, you miss out on all of that. Well, these are the three reasons why you must be a member of the church, why it is important for you to be a member of the church. Every aspect of the Christian life, in a sense, is vitally attached to the church. God works through the church. Sadly, many professing Christians neglect the obligations of membership and consequently flounder spiritually and soon make a shipwreck of their faith. Many Christians neglect membership obligations. Are you one of them? You have taken the step to join the church. You are a member of the church. But the truth about you is that you are not living out your responsibilities as a member. To start with, you absent yourself from church for no reason. And then you're not in the inside. You don't know what is going on in the life of the church because you are not really a part. You are a member in name only. There are people who need your ministry. The church is blessed by your presence. When you are not there, they are deprived. The church is blessed by your gifts. When you don't exercise them, they are deprived. They are not the better for it. The church is blessed by your prayers. When you don't pray with the church, they don't hear you praying. They are deprived. And they are not the better for it. Well, you have a duty, my friend, to repent, to change, to start doing what you promised you would be doing when you became a member of the church. Do it now. But more than that, you cannot expect to prosper spiritually if you disregard your membership obligations. The strongest Christians are those who are active in the church, who function in the church. Would you be strong? Would you be fruitful? Make church participation, make membership functioning an important part of your life. I want to end with an old question about joining the church and an answer to that question. Can I be a Christian without joining the church? That is the question. The answer is yes. It is possible to be a Christian without joining the church. A student who will not go to school, a soldier who will not join an army, a citizen who does not pay taxes or vote, a salesman with no customers, an explorer with no base camp, a seaman on a ship without a crew, a businessman on a deserted island, an author without readers, a tuba player without an orchestra, a parent without a family, a football player without a team, a politician who is a hermit, a scientist who does not share his findings, a bee without a hive. Well, that's the kind of member you will be, the kind of Christian you will be. Christian without a church is like all these people. It is possible. But what kind of Christian will you be? You'll be very effective. You will almost be useless. Don't be this kind of Christian. Join the church. Don't delay. Do it now. And you will be a meaningful Christian. And when you become a member, strive to stay close to the church, not far from her. Fulfill your obligations to the head of the church, to the officers of the church, and to the members of the church. When you do that, you will be a very productive Christian and member of the church. And may God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. And we know that without your Spirit working upon us, all that we have learnt this morning will amount to nothing. And so help us, God. Move those who must join the church to do so. Help those who are members of the church to maintain their membership, to live out their responsibilities as members. And as they labor together, oh, won't you bless this church to the glory of your name and of the Lamb, in whose name we pray. Amen.